Support for GLT comes from Bloomington Public Library, now offering a local podcast, Shelf Understanding. Past topics include the tiny house movement, virtual reality, an interview with author Eric Larson, and more. Shelf Understanding is available at bloomingtonlibrary.org, through iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
Hard to believe, but winter is coming. It's time to prepare our yards to be a haven for visiting wildlife. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. It's Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Hello, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, making wildlife welcome in our yards. As winter comes and they're out there and they're scrounging around for food and they want to look for some shelter, well, we can be the ones to provide that.
We can. And the good news is what we provide for them is just a bonus. So I always like to talk about that because I had, you know, grandmas and maybe even my mother that believed that if it wasn't for their feeding, how would they make it through the winter?
Yeah.
But they can. It just makes for some easy foraging for them.
And then maybe we can develop a habit and they'll hang around in the warmer months. It'd be nice to have, like the cardinals.
Always there's
nice
a benefit to having the wildlife there. And we share the world with these living things. So I think it's a good idea to live in harmony with them. And there's this kind of a simple approach, in my opinion, to sharing your property or your garden with wildlife. And that is, you have to provide the four essentials that they need: food, water, shelter, and space. Space is overlooked sometimes.
So like I need my space in your backyard.
Without a doubt. Okay. It is exactly like that.
Okay.
Yes. And in inviting the critters to your yard, you can incorporate that as a landscape criteria item. When it comes to, say, food, you know, there's the obvious things like the seed and the suets and the little fiber bar that we made in Cub Scouts or brownies, whatever your deal with, you know, with the peanut butter and the oatmeal and the stuff, and you let it freeze outside or you put it in the freezer. Those are all great things. And that's the bonus that the wildlife gets, but it's not critical for their survival.
Okay, but it helps.
It definitely helps. But you can also help by giving them things that offer them food as well as what you put out. So examples of that would be the acorns from oak trees. Hawthorn trees have a late-bearing fruit that's ornamental in appearance.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that the birds will forage on later in the winter. And there are lots of grasses that have an ornamental seed head that the birds can forage on that, too.
Oh.
It's primarily birds that we're feeding here, everybody, because there's some liabilities to feeding the squirrels and the groundhogs and those critters. And I am a hypocrite, I have to say. I love feeding the squirrels where I live. I love watching them and seeing them come and go.
Mm-hmm. I figure if you're going to feed birds, ipso facto, you're going to feed squirrels. Good luck keeping them out.
They seem like the same restaurants, that's for sure. But you know, you got to keep in mind not to overdo it. And I'm guilty of that too.
Oh,
you know,
I hadn't thought about that.
You put out a whole bunch of corn and then, you know, you wanted the birds and the squirrels to share it. And before you know, there are raccoons there.
Oh, you betcha.
And we love the raccoons, but their dookie is dangerous to domestic animals,
what?
Primarily dogs. Yeah,
really?
Their urine and their dookie is not good. And it can make your pets sick. And that's what we talk about in space, you know, the area where you live, your outdoor space, it can handle so much wildlife. So if you leave a whole bag of bird seed out there, they'll for sure come and eat it, but you might have a mess to clean up, and that's actually harmful to the wildlife too, because then they're feeding where there's a mess, and that's where the transfer of diseases occurs also.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, how to make wildlife feel welcome in our yards. Too bad there's no such thing as a raccoon porta potty.
That might be something that we could work on.
Yeah, I can see. Let's get a GoFundMe campaign for that.
Make it out of recycled milk jugs. So when we're giving them something to eat and they're crunching on all this seed and dining on all these berries and acorns, they're going to need something to wash it down with. Water's critical.
Yes.
And even when it's really cold.
But of course, if it's cold, then it's going to freeze. So we have to take steps toward that.
Yeah. And then that's something that you can incorporate into your landscaping. I've seen things as clever as extending the exhaust on the dryer vent with tubing And it's concealed within the landscaping plants, and at the end of it where the steam comes out is where a drip tray was filled full of water, kind of like a bird bath basin resting on the ground. And when the dryer turned on, it would melt that, and there was a predictability in laundry and the occurrence of birds showing up in this case, you know, and that's something to be enjoyed too.
That's clever.
But the trick with the water, I think, is to have many options, and you want to move it around and not make it so big that you can't clean it and maintain it.
Okay.
Right? Because if it's on the ground or somewhere, you know, the animals can get in it and it can be dirty, or it freezes and it's of no good. So you're going to have to maintain it, especially in the late fall, early winter, when we get this unseasonably warm weather. Having little vessels with water laying around is a mosquito hazard.
Oh, yeah.
So you want to use good judgment in doing that. And then there's the shelter. You can learn how to keep them out of your house. That's an important thing to do, right? So don't let the squirrels leap from the trees to your house and then come into a hole in the soffit.
Yeah, we don't want that.
You don't want that. What you can do, though, there's some neat little things. Birdhouses are an obvious thing for birds. But something I've seen done, and there's a little strategy to it, is your late season pruning and your winter pruning and stuff that you pick up in the yard just from the wind blowing it down. You can kind of stack that stuff up in your garden or out by where you collect compost.
Mm-hmm.
Stack it up in a manner that it is protected from the northwest wind and it has a southerly exposure. And if it's not too close to the ground, you know, this is a case where you might see some winter birds roosting there even for the night just because they have some protection from this little thicket of twigs.
Yeah.
And that's something we're going to practice here at ISU's Biological Outdoor Learning Center.
Ooh.
So we keep all of the debris on the location because as the debris breaks down, it's also part of the soil forming process for nature. So it's just a way of kind of continuing the cycle. And instead of burning all those sticks at the end of the fall when you're done with your leaf cleanup, maybe consider letting them rest in a neat pile somewhere out of the way so the sun can heat it up during the day and give some of our friends a place to stay if it gets windy or rainy out.
That is so nice.
I like it too. I think it's neat.
It's a beautiful idea. Absolutely beautiful. Is it kosher to basically to welcome, like, say, deer to one's yard, or should we just stay out of that aspect?
It's you have to use a lot of caution. So if you had a great big piece of property mm-hmm. and the deer move through there and you see them graze out in an area away from the house, it is illegal to feed deer.
Aha, that's what I was wondering.
It is illegal to feed them. So, and it can spread a wasting disease is what it's called. So the deer transfer it to each other by mm-hmm. kind of eating in this same area, and it's usually associated with feeds or with the salt lick blocks, I believe.
Ooh.
Yeah, so you can't do that for them.
Well, I'll just save the salt lick for my family.
And if you live in a wooded area and, you know, there are ditches filled with leaves and vegetation and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. People, I think, sometimes underestimate the number of deer that we live with and live amongst us. They get down in the ditches and stuff. You know, you can't see them laying down there. They're sometimes resting near the roadways.
Uh-huh.
But there's some merit to leaving a landscape in a naturalized form to the best of one's abilities, preference, and taste.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where all the animals live. You can have all that and save yourself some domesticated garden space, too.
Okay, great advice there, Murph. Thank you so much for that. Now, next week on GLT's Grow, we're talking about protecting your pond, be it real or man-made. Mm-hmm. You've got the real one.
We can figure it out.
And we've got the man-made at the Kennedy compound, so we'll figure it out. If you've got a gardening question or problem you'd like Murph to tackle, then go to our website, wglt.org/grow. Fill in the form there and send it along to us. And it's possible that Murph will answer your question on the air. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to send along your photographs as well. Submit those questions at wglt.org/grow.